right, we are back. My name is Joshua Stamper. I'm here with the fabulous Charlie Peck as we are looking at the calendar, and I don't know where January went, Charlie.
I don't either.
Where January went?
No, it's insane. Honestly, it's insane.
I feel like the ball dropped. It was 2026, and I blinked, and now it's February. So, so good to see you. We have an exciting project that the two of us are a part of with also Darren Peppard and Julie Hassam. And I would love for you to talk about our brand new project called In Demand.
Yeah, you know, what's a show? We're putting this show on YouTube. New Horizons is behind it. They're sponsoring it. They're leveling it up. And the four of us are together a lot. Like, we do a lot of work together. We align a lot, and we bring our own unique kind of expertise, if you will, into that. And so what's really cool about it is that we're addressing those mid to high level professionals that are in demand. Like, they are in demanding roles. People want their attention a lot, and they are just pulled in lots of different directions. And so we are there to help support them where they're trying to meet the needs of their team, their staff, and their own personal lives to protect that too. So I'm so excited. We did our first recording. Wow, what a great episode. What a great episode. And it's going to come out. I think it's going to come out like early to mid February, but it's going to be on YouTube.
Awesome. Will you talk about Brad Wade and his role in the project too? Because it's super exciting to have New Horizons a part of this project too.
Yeah, well, he's our fierce supporter, and he runs the speaking bureau. And so we are all speakers. And so we do keynotes. And so he represents us. I just absolutely love Brad. He's awesome. I've known him for years, probably 7 years now. And he's consistent. He shows up for people. He's an awesome keynote too. He goes all over the world. He talks about AI, and he represents us. So I love that we're all coming together. We did The Voice, right?
Yeah, The Voice Collective.
Last year, we all came together in The Voice Collective. We did a retreat, and it was phenomenal. So we're just coming together as a group, and he represents us. So New Horizons is backing us.
Very cool. All right. With that, I think we should dive into the question for this week. And then we got some super fun things that me and you are doing here in the near future. So I'd love to touch on that. And of course, you know, our favorite segment, Behind the Banter, we'll jump into that to close out the episode. So Charlie, I know this time of year, leaders specifically, and I've been working with a lot of leaders lately, they are starting to think, okay, what initiatives do I want to do right now in 2026? Or they even, some of them, you know, with budgets coming out, they're thinking about what to do for next year. So mm-hmm. I had a leader in one of my cohorts ask this, and I wanted to throw it to you because we provide a lot of strategies on this podcast. We have a ton in our book, and they were asking, with the new year, like, if I'm trying to implement some practices to help students and staff, how do I make sure it doesn't fall to the wayside?
I'm so glad you asked that, seriously, because I don't know how many times I'm dealing with crisis issues with kids who are responding negatively to their environment because it's so restrictive. And that's what happens in education. So it's sad because that's why so many teachers are leaving. They're getting all burned out and overloaded, and our leaders are just like struggling. They don't know what to do. And so that's why we have got to stop doing the one and done. We've got to stop. It's great to kick it off. It's great to introduce. It's great to give a tool. I love the PD, and I know there's tons of initiatives, but unless we embed it into everyday practice and look from a prevention approach, we are just going to be putting out fires all the time. And we're not going to have that transformative change that we need. We need people functioning well. We need people wanting to show up to work, wanting to show up to school. We need parents to want to be involved and build that trust back up. So the strategy here is this. That's why you and I went to the cohort model. The cohort model is where we support the team. I don't care who you go get support from, hopefully us, because we love doing this work, but you may know someone doing this work. And all you need to do is commit to that. Get your team committed to seeing something through. So whether it's what Josh is doing with his Aspire to Lead, whether it's what I'm doing with my 9 essential skills, or what he and I are doing collectively with a lot of districts right now too, and we're pulling it all together for like a 3-year plan, that longevity is what's going to make the difference. It's got to be a commitment to embed it into everyday practice. You know this, Josh. You need to talk about this, about how the long-term sustainability comes from committing to your staff who's going to lead the school and then have that trickle-down effect.
Yeah, for sure. I think, and I can talk about a lot of different initiatives, and plenty of them have failed, Charlie, because you know, I think right now what people are struggling with is that there's so much information from the district, from social media, from other teachers. I mean, there's so much coming at us, and it's really easy to get excited. It's really easy to see the new shiny thing, especially if you're a leader. And then you do maybe a one-off, maybe bring someone in, maybe do a book study, whatever it might be, right? But then you don't have touch points throughout the year with it. And so what happens with the staff and the teachers is they're like, it's just one more thing that's going to fall to the wayside again. We're not going to do anything with it. We'll grin and bear it for the one and done situation. I'm not going to implement it in my class. I'm just going to do what I usually do, right? And so that's frustrating for a campus. It kills campus culture. It frustrates the admin staff because they're like, this is awesome. We should be doing this. But no one's doing it with us. And so it's just a dysfunctional system that's being created. And so what you're saying is 100% true in the sense that if it's important, it should literally be our identity. We talked about identity last time with our habits, right? Same thing with campus culture. Like, we need to embed this in everything that we do. So like, for instance, if we're talking about like the language of behavior, if we're looking at relationship strategies to be proactive in the classroom, well, do we just do one training and then we let it go and just assume everyone has mastered the skills necessary to build quality and healthy relationships with their kids? Of course not. We need to make sure that we're modeling it. It needs to be literally in every staff meeting. It needs to be in every communication. I mean, literally everything that we do as a leader needs to have this component to it, because we need to remind everyone that it's so important and something that it's not going away. This is literally how our campus functions. And so I would just ask, like, whatever initiatives, fill in the blank. If you're a leader and you're listening to this, if it's important to you, is it incorporated in absolutely everything on your campus?
You know, what comes to mind for me is it goes back to the first tenet that we talked about, that we cover, the first part of the first tenet, and it's consider your environment. And there are so many things in the environment that is causing kids to feel dysregulated, to feel insecure, unstructured. We seemingly have a lot of structure in education, but actually we don't. It's not all intentional. And so we have routines, which are great. We need routines. We need clear signs. We need kids to feel like they know what's going to happen in their environment. And so that's why you and I created that environment inventory to look at the tools. Well, what's going on? And remember, if kids are adapting well and they're engaging well, that's fine. They're adapting, they're doing fine. But it's the kids who just don't seem engaged. They seem dysregulated. They seem apathetic. Remember, those are not things that they want to feel. Kids want to be involved. Kids want to do well. Kids want you to want them in their class. And so we just have to look at what's going on in the environment. It just affects their behavior so much, and more so than behavior. It affects their ability to focus, to engage, to want to ask questions, to take risks. I mean, there's just so much that environment does. And then that other part of that environment. So it's not just the physical environment, it's that social environment that you and I did a whole topic on that. We did an episode on that, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so.
So it's such a crucial piece to consider, that environment that we set up. It's got to be predictable so that they're going to want to show up there, and it's trustworthy for them.
Just to close it out too, I want folks to think about the runway, right? It needs to be a long runway. And if it's a multi-year process of implementation, which it will be, Charlie, and we've talked about that on various platforms, is that if you are having turnover in your staff, which every campus does every single year, the new people that are coming in, are they getting the same training that everybody else is? And Charlie, we work with new teachers all the time. So that way we're creating a sense of consistency. So that way, first year teacher versus 20 year teacher, they all have the same concepts. They understand the identity of the campus, that this is exactly what we do. And so that, I think, sometimes gets left out, and it's unfortunate because after, you know, year three, and let's say you've got a 10% changeover, well, after year three, that's a 30% of your staff that has not been trained in something that you're expecting from 100% of folks.
Right. Good point.
So something to consider. With that, I think we should jump into a quick behind the banter before we close this up. All right, my friend, we do lots of different podcasts. So what's your favorite?
My favorite podcast?
Gosh. It's like your favorite book, right? Or your favorite song or artist. I mean, it's hard to pinpoint, but
it is hard. It is hard to do. Okay.
Are you a consumer of a lot of podcasts?
I am. And that's why it's hard. It's hard to do. I will say, here's one that I listened to and I used it in my classroom, is Science Versus. So I forget the name of the host, but she's amazing to listen to. She's so fun to listen to. But she does, like, she and her team find sciencey kind of topics and they do the back research on it. And it's pretty cool. It's that they cover so many things. So I actually used it in my classroom as kind of a filler for days that we needed extra things, but it related to the topic I was covering. So I like Science Versus. There's a million of them, but what about you?
Yeah, for mine, obviously I'm a huge sports fan. So, you know, like anything Timberwolves, Daymore podcast is like what I listen to typically, long form, or sometimes I just need to like not think about anything and I just want to have a good laugh. And so Mike Birbiglia has a wonderful podcast. That's where he talks about like the creative process and he talks with other comedians and it's funny. It actually, I think too, I don't know if I've talked about this on the show, but I think that podcast also is, you know, for anyone's a creative mind, if you're trying to write a book, if you're trying to speak, I mean, there's a lot of different avenues to create a podcast. He talks about the process too. And I think it, even though it's in the realm of comedy, it also relates to a lot of other things too. So,
yeah, gosh, there's so many good ones. It just keeps popping up in my mind. So
I know, right? I could list off about 50, but I'm not going to do that. Let's talk about what's coming up real quick. So you have a Partners for Change event coming up locally that you're going to be working with. So can you talk through what it is that you're doing?
Yeah, it's in the community and it's just such a wonderful thing that they're doing in Northern Kentucky. Like when I get to work with people locally, I just love it. And their theme is like game on. It's an all-star playbook to lead. So it's about learning, leading, leveling up the work that you're doing. And I'm excited about that. It's in February. What about you? I know you've got stuff coming up too.
Yeah, I think the next thing is KASEA. And that's a special education group that I'm going to be keynoting and doing a breakout session for their conference. So if you're in the Kansas area, that's something that's of interest for you. Registration for that ends February 8th. So that's coming up. So I can definitely put the link in there for folks too, if they want to participate, if they're in the area, because we'd love to see them. And then I was almost so excited to talk about March and what we're doing in North Carolina. So Charlie, do you want to talk real quick about what we're going to be doing here in a couple months?
Yeah, it's about supporting middle level education. So educators, support staff, leaders there. And it is growing every year. It's for anybody. It's not just people who are in the North Carolina area. It's everybody's from everywhere now because it's so big now. It's just great. So we get to come together and speak there. You and I are doing a session together too, the language of
being. I know.
Can't wait.
So exciting. Yeah. And I'm going to bring the podcast, at least Aspire to Lead, and a microphone. So I don't know how much downtime we're going to have, but maybe we can even do something with the language of behavior while we're there. But I'm going to have, you know, a recording space. Brad Wade's going to be there. So I'm going to sit with his booth and record and have some folks on there. So super excited for that whole event. We're going to see so many friends there too. So if you want to join us, we can make sure the link's in there in the show notes for that too. But with that, we're going to close this down. Charlie, do you have any words that you want to close with?
Yes. Just trust in the people you're working with. If you are hiring somebody and they're working with you and they're spending their time committing to you, commit to them and commit to your staff for long-term change. Embed whatever you're doing, not as something separate, embed it into everyday practice so you can truly have long-term sustainable outcomes.
Awesome. If you're looking for assistance with anything that we're talking about today in regards to initiatives and PD for your campus, for your district, you can head over to thrivingeducator.org or you can head over to joshstamper.com. We'd love to assist in any way possible. With that, we will see you again next week.
See ya.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and a podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.